This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Upgrade your space now during Blinds.com's anniversary sale and save up to 50% site-wide. Blinds.com. Elevate your windows with the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Blinds.com offers hundreds of premium window treatment options. Choose from woven wood and Roman shades to blinds, motorized shades, and more. All designed to fit your budget without sacrificing quality. Blinds.com brings the showroom to you with free virtual consultations and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Our design experts can help schedule a professional measure and installation, plus guidance for DIYers too. Blinds.com has been trusted for 29 years, earning thousands of five-star reviews. Shop with confidence, knowing you'll get upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. But hurry, these savings won't last. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off site-wide. Save up to 50% site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Harrington deal. Chris Harrington joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That, of course, is It's the End of the World as We Know It, and I Feel Fine by R.E.M. Felt appropriate today.
So is it the end of the world, Chris?
As I have learned, I try to resist it, but we must all catastrophize about sports.
Uh-huh.
It has to be. It is heartbreaking. It is devastating. If player X does not make second team all rookie, it will be an unspeakable tragedy. These things occur.
Yeah,
I don't know, man. They've had some frustrating losses. The one last night was almost cosmically humorous the way it happened. I mean, it was like, really, the basketball gods are devising new ways to do this.
Yeah, I mean, taken individually, a loss when you don't have your two best players to Atlanta is not actually the worst thing ever. It's not nearly as bad as when you were healthy and you're destroyed by the Knicks in Madison Square Garden. But given the context and given the way that it played out, it certainly felt like a gut punch. Just to take,
I mean, they were without. Santi has been the fourth guy on the team we talked about. Once Jaren went down, like in minute two or whatever, they were without three of their four best players.
Correct.
And Atlanta's not good, but Atlanta's not bad. They're a middle of the pack team. And so, with all those players out, it was a coin flip game at that point. You know, and then it had a coin flip ending. You know.
Yeah, I said earlier, if you just took those lineups once Jaren went out and he played a seven-game series, I'd like Atlanta, thanks. I think they're more talented. So the way that it happened, though, okay, so there were two elements. Yeah. There were two elements of it that I think were particularly discouraging. Obviously, the ridiculous ending was discouraging. You didn't have Ja at point. You had Dez playing point. It happened. Dyson Daniels is a tremendous defensive player. It is also true, though, that their last seven possessions didn't just yield one bucket. It looked a mess every damn trip.
Yeah, they had a 10-point. I haven't looked at it again, but something like a 10-point lead with 4 minutes to go, or it was something like that, right?
Yeah.
And it felt like they were just trying to hold on to that lead, you know. And it felt like they sort of just played tight, just trying to hold on to a win the last 4 minutes, and it really bit them. And then, like, you know, that last play is sort of like, you know, a cosmic joke of a play, but also an embodiment of various trends, you know, like
turnover.
They've been turnover. Desmond Bane turnover, which has been a problem this season, I think. And, like, you know, losing on a buzzer beater, third in a row, essentially.
The other trend, and obviously it's very different when Jaren isn't there, right? You know, like you certainly see his importance to the team defensively. And so you give up a 42nd point second quarter without Jaren, but that comes on top of a 46 point second quarter to the Spurs, a 41 point third quarter to the Suns, and a 50 point second quarter to the Pacers. What the hell has gone wrong defensively?
I mean, defense is complicated already, and so it's never like one thing, one easy thing. They're not doing this. Right. You know, it's always a bunch of things. Defense takes talent and effort and execution and togetherness and all these things. And it's all sort of been lacking. I do think there's some roster issues here. I think they're on the small side. They've developed a little bit when I say soft, I don't necessarily mean in terms of demeanor, but I'm talking about the physicality of the roster. Like toughness and physicality and size and sort of things that I think that I would look at, try to add this offseason. Too late for that now. You know, I mean, the Marcus Smart thing didn't work out. And I thought Vince Williams had a pretty good game last night, but I mean, he said in the shoot-around, like he was asked, where are you at physically? And he said about 80%.
Right.
And I do think that's what it looks like. There were a couple plays there where there were like back cut kind of stuff, and I saw him reaching for deflections, and he was like, you know, about an inch short. And I feel like in the past, he gets his hand on that ball, and he's just not quite there right now. So that's some of it. So it's just a lot of things, man. It's not just one thing.
Right. It's just, given that they have been so good defensively, or pretty darn good defensively, it's just interesting that at this moment, when at least ostensibly coming out of the All-Star break, they were healthy for a bit there until now. It's just interesting that and with the addition of Vince, it's interesting that now is the moment it collapses.
Yeah, no, I mean, whatever your limitations are personnel-wise, they are not meeting their potential in terms of the togetherness and the focus and the effort and all of that, right? And so clearly they have to ramp up. The defense can be better than it's been. The turnovers has been a season-long problem, and there's no sign of it being fixed. And so I don't know how you have any – so you can have more faith in the defense getting better over the next 6 weeks than the turnovers, because it's just – it's been day one, and I just, you know, you don't see anything there. So those are the two things on the court, like team-wide trends I think really matter going forward. But then the other thing, and to me, like losing the game was the third most meaningful thing that happened last night. It's the Jaren Joss stuff that's like a bigger deal right now. The health questions there.
Yeah. Well, let's take those. There's been we don't have any report on Jaren. We did just hear Kyrie is out for the year. Jaren was an ankle. There's no way to know, right? But
apparently some of the talk in the locker room, other players talking to each other, was I don't think it's that bad. Like, he looked okay, kind of thing.
Right.
So I don't think it's a big deal. But I don't know if he's going to play on Wednesday, right? So you know, that's, I don't think it's some big thing. But it, you know, it might be a small thing. We're not going to know until we know.
Right. We won't know until we know. And then I was going to ask you about it. I read your full exchange with Taylor on Ja earlier in the show, but not everyone listens to the whole show. Review it for us a little bit, and then what did you make of it?
So it was a little bit of a tag team effort with me and DeMichael Cole from the CA in the pregame thing. I asked Taylor about the status of Ja and Santi, who are both questionable. He said they're probably not going to play, or Kenny Dort not playing. And DeMichael asked something about, get him to elaborate on the Ja situation. I can't remember exactly what Taylor said at that point, but he used the phrase short term. I think it's a short term situation. And that just got my antenna up. So I followed up again, because to me, Ja missing that game was a real eyebrow raiser for me, because he had the All-Star break. He had the whole week off. He comes out of the All-Star break. He plays five games in a row for the first time in 2 months. He plays well. In at least four of those five games, he's playing. I wrote a column about it. He's playing well. This is the most sustained, like, in terms of availability plus production, this is a sustained stretch he's had in a long time. So then he misses the Spurs game, which to me was not a big deal, because it's the second night of a back-to-back, 3 and 4 nights. I do think they were going to sort of be careful with him a little bit the rest of the way. So if you're going to miss a game, that's sort of it. But then you have a two-day break coming off a loss, and he's still out with shoulder soreness. And so given that he's sitting with shoulder soreness in that game, and given that he has not been able to string together more than five in a row, and given that, like, this is shoulder soreness on a shoulder he injured this season, it was the same shoulder he had surgically repaired a year ago, I just don't know how you have faith that it's short term and it's not good, that he's going to be just fine for playoff basketball if he can't play that game last night. And that's what I asked Taylor Jenkins about, and his answer, you may have it in front of you. His answer was what it was. It was, you know, he's one of those things you got to sort of pick apart. We can theorize about it, but like what he said was what he said.
Was there anything? I mean, what he basically said was, and I could call it up again. Let me do that. I didn't even necessarily see much room to theorize necessarily about it. Okay, here it is. Yeah, I mean, it's the conversations with him, the medical team. We've got faith. I mean, obviously, it's something that we're going to have to navigate right now. But you know, this kid is built for the tough moments for sure. So that's why I'm focused on it being short term right now. That's what the medical team is telling me. Obviously, it's just kind of like lingering soreness. But as the season gets deeper, you know, I have faith that Ja is going to be ready to play whatever he needs, you know, minute wise, duration of games, all of that. There.
There's sort of different potential explanations of what's sort of really happening here. One of them is that, like, this is a real problem, and you have faith that he's going to be able to do this, but he may not be able to do this because he's got a real shoulder issue that, like, if he can't play five games in regular, six, seven straight in a regular season, he may not be able to do it in the postseason either, and you're talking yourself into that it'll be different. That could be the case. It also could be the case that, like, that he could be playing right now if he really needed to be. Like, if this were the playoffs, he would be out there playing 38 minutes. But maybe they have a belief that if you take it easy on him over these next 6 weeks, you're more likely to get better results in the playoffs, and that exchange is worth it right now. That the cost is worth the reward. That it's not that he couldn't do this, but that he will be better able to do it well, you know, if you take this path. The other thing could be that, like, it's a mystery box to them, frankly, and Ja tells them whether he's playing, you know? And in that case, like, how do they know, like, what's ever going to happen? So I don't know the answer there.
Yeah, the discouraging part of it is this, it feels like where you and Jeffrey sort of were sitting last week, which was that his play looks to your eyeballs to be diminished because of banged-upness, and maybe right. That's what we're going to get. It almost feels like that's the best case scenario now. Like, going forward and into the playoffs, it feels like from 80 or 90% Ja is the best you're going to get. Yeah.
If you can get 80 to 90% Ja for 38 minutes in every playoff game, sign me up right now. Yeah. Yes.
And that, yeah.
I'm not assuming 100% Ja in every playoff game.
Yeah. And so that's the best case scenario. And then the worst case, I mean, whatever. You can start theorizing about surgery in the offseason if you want. Who knows? Like, well, there's no reason to think that.
Let me reflect. I have never theorized about that.
Right. I have fever. I was talking about the Twitter world where people can start theorizing right. about what might be ailing him. Anyway, so that's obviously troublesome if the Jaren things comes back. Now, I'll be honest. I'm kind of conceding Thursday against the Oklahoma City Thunder with
it's a rough spot.
Yeah. But after that, you got a very diminished Dallas team. Like, what's the way out here look like, Chris?
Well, here's the thing. Step back from this. Like, they just lost three games in a row, right?
Yep.
That's the first time all season they've lost three games in a row. How many teams around the league had never lost three games in a row? I think it's like one or two, maybe. Like, I think I looked at this at one point. Cleveland had lost three in a row, right? You know, they didn't try to shut down the franchise. They lost three games in a row for the first time all season. They lost those three games in a row by a combined 5 points. And so the problems are the problems, and the problems are real. The defense problem is real. The turnover problem is real. The, like, wondering, are you really going all out in terms of player availability? How real is the stuff? And I hate even, like, you know, who am I to say that a guy can play or not play, right? I'm not right. in their body. But it forces fans to sort of talk like that, right? all of that stuff is real. They could have very easily gone 3-0 in those games. They should have gone at least 1-2 or 2-1. But they, you know, these are last second shots that, fell for the other team. If they don't fall, like, they really are 3-0, and that 3-0 would not change a single one of these problems in terms of the turnovers and the defense and this other stuff.
Oh yeah, and if
so, I just don't think it's that big of a deal.
Yeah,
you look up and oh, you slip from second to fourth. You're one game out of second. You know, that segment of the conference has been a Marco Polo all season. The Grizzlies haven't had some commanding lead of second place all season that they suddenly lost. They bobbed up and down. And so it's Houston, and so it's Denver. Now the Lakers are bobbing up. Maybe they'll bob down, maybe they won't. It's been a little bit of a Marco Polo in those spots, and it may just be that until the rest of the season. And at game 82, the merry-go-round will stop, and we'll see where people are.
Yeah, and of these three, one game is a perfectly a hammer and tong back and forth, whatever you want to say, against the Knicks.
Right.
That's just whatever. This game that you lost without three of your four best players, the one that really irritated me was the one in the middle, because it felt like that was self-inflicted.
That was the most
a lack of seriousness. Yes, but and honestly, yeah. It was even because, I mean, as we now know, well, Jack couldn't play. And honestly, you know, as you point out, it's difficult to question who could or could not have played in that game. It is not difficult to question why Cam Spencer, Gigi Jackson,
I agree.
The second quarter lineup. That was a lack of seriousness and devotion to the cause, you know?
I agree completely. That was the most frustrating in some ways, the ending of the Hawks game was the most frustrating moment.
Yes.
But the Spurs game was the most frustrating game. It was the one that felt that was most self-inflicted. But even then, it wasn't like some unimaginable, unfathomable, how could you possibly lose to this team? You were playing without John Morant or Desmond Bane and, like, other people, you know? Like, wasn't like, it's not like you had this world-beating lineup on the floor. It was like Jarrett, you know?
What's Santi's situation?
I don't know. Calf soreness is what they said. Like, I don't think it's a big deal. I actually saw him. I left the arena a little early because I had to get up early and do some stuff this morning. So I was walking out. He was standing sort of out in the tunnel signing autographs and stuff. So, like, you know, he's not, like, in a cast or boot or anything. I think it's probably not a big deal.
All right. How big a deal do you think where you end 2, 3, 4, 5 is?
Well, we've been talking about this all year. It's hard to know in part because you don't know what the first-round matchup is going to give you in any of those spots. And it's not always true that the higher spot is the better spot. We know this in the history of the Grizzlies. Like the first 2011, they were the sixth seed, and they lost on purpose to be the eight because they decided we'd rather be the eight than the six because we like the matchup better. And then they won that series. And so it's hard to say definitively based on that. You know, one thing people have been talking about is that, you know, try to avoid Oklahoma City in the second round. I've come back around to the idea of, like, I sort of care more about the first round series at this point because I think this team winning the first round series and then getting Oklahoma City in the second round would just be sort of a gravy series anyway.
Right.
And so I don't hate the idea of being in a 4-5 with Houston, you know, but I don't want to get in a 4-5 with the Lakers. Like, you know, I don't know, you know, it,
right.
Sort of, you don't know where it's going to line up. Generally speaking, winning the higher you can get is better, but that's in the abstract, and by the end of the season, it won't be abstract anymore.
And you certainly want to be four rather than five. We do know that.
Because the matchup is the same either way, and you get the home court. So, yeah.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
All right.
Chris Harrington from the Daily Memphian with, once again, a timely musical reference to start off his segment. We got Charles Fishman, our man in Washington, D.C., Fish on Friday on Tuesday. We got him coming up next. We'll do that in a second. It is the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Charles, welcome. I'm wearing, Jeffrey, did you notice what I'm wearing today? Did you notice what I'm wearing today in honor of?
The Steo jacket?
No.
Oh, Fish on Friday shirt. I didn't realize you had merch.
Yeah, the Fish on Friday.
Oh, you got the Fish on Friday
on
shirt.
On Tuesday. You don't like it, though, for some reason. You don't like the representation of you.
I just reached into my desk drawer and pulled out my beautiful Fish on Friday on Tuesday t-shirt. It's right here. I don't usually wear it, but there
I don't
it is.
Either.
Spread it across my desk. I'll be honest.
You don't like the representation of you.
Claire is such a beautiful artist, but I think she did a better job capturing you than me.
That's what you would think, although, of course, because people are vain about themselves.
We should give.
Let's ask Jeffrey. Jeffrey, here we go. Who
Jeffrey's
is
not that familiar with?
That's fine. He knows. Who is that? Doesn't that look like a fair representation of both of us?
Yeah, I didn't realize you looked like Tim Cook, but yeah, I can see that.
And what's interesting, and we're going to post this picture for everybody now. What's interesting is that Jeff is smiling and raising a mug of coffee, and I'm furiously working.
That's exactly it. That's exactly that representation of the dynamic of this segment. Here's the question, Jeffrey. Would there be, and I'm willing to listen to this, I have never... These exist only in prototype form.
Yes.
Because we have never... I've never honestly thought that anyone would want one. But we could...
We could take pre-orders.
We could actually have Fish on Friday on Tuesday shirts we give away, Jeffrey. Would there be any demand? I don't think there would be. I think it's a small, disturbed group of people
who would want to wear it. Let's see. We could tweet
I tend to agree with Charles.
One.
Let's find out.
And let's think about this is a show built on smart economics.
That's exactly.
I was going to say what we can do is we can give the proceeds to your favorite charity, me.
Well, that's fair.
This segment's out of hand already. What we could do is we could price them to move at exactly what they cost to make, which is probably like $19.
If you listen, if you want some tinkering with your representation of you, we can do that.
You keep interrupting me.
That's part of the dynamic. Maybe that should be captured.
Charge $500 a shirt and finally pay me something. Finally, after 5 years, we could pay me something. Anyway, let's see what the demand is.
We'll make it a reward for people who want to donate to the Fish and Jeff Fund. Not me, Jeff. Jeffrey. The Fish and Jeffrey Fund. Yeah. And it can be the gift pack you get, like when you give to NPR. You get a coffee mug or something, you know?
Yes, let's be honest. Jeffrey Wright may not be paid nearly what his value is, but he's paid a hell of a lot more than me.
My last thought about this.
Can we get to the topic?
No, Now you're interrupting me.
This may be the busiest news day in history.
I just had one thought on this, is that I don't think people would wear the shirt because it's weird. I think they might have the coffee cup. I think they might want the coffee cup. And so I think we should make it coffee cups. Onward we go to the list. Traffic. You had something about traffic.
I'll tell you what. I walk my dogs in the forest every day. We back up to a little piece of Rock Creek Park, which is the huge central park that winds through all of Washington, D.C. It's really wildland. It's not like Central Park in New York. It's forest land. And we have to cross one street to get into the main body of the park called Oregon Avenue. And there was so much traffic on Oregon Avenue this morning. I literally took pictures in both directions. And that is a road that leads to main commuter arteries into D.C. I literally cross that road. I don't cross it every day, but 3 or 4 times a week, every week for the last 10 years. I've never seen this line of cars. People are going back to work. And I guess a lot of them are, in fact,
even in D.C., because I would think that a lot of them would not be going to work. Oh, I see. They've been ordered back to work.
Well, it's an interesting tension, right? They're going back to work as instructed, return to office, apparently so they can be fired.
Right, if they have their jobs. You got some good news today. We have wallowed in bad news. The Grizzlies lose and everything else. Grizzlies have lost and lost and lost.
Well, we got so much bad news. We got tariffs.
But
we got
Ukraine. Good news first. You got good news first.
We're going to do the good news first. This is really an incredible story. A man named James Harrison, who spent his life in Sydney, Australia, so a little bit far away, died. I guess he died about a week ago at age 88. James Harrison had a little factor in his blood, an antibody in his blood, that Australian physicians discovered way back when he was 14 years old. And he saved 2.4 million children's lives. They asked him to donate blood because they needed to harvest this factor because it's given to babies whose mothers show certain results in prenatal tests, and it prevents very serious disease in children, newborns, or it prevents miscarriages. It prevents their death. Here's what James Harrison did. He started giving blood the birthday that he was permitted in Australia, age 18. And he gave blood every 2 weeks for 64 years.
Wow.
He gave blood on average 18 times a year, but just astonishing until he was 81. He stopped in 2018. He said, I'm willing to continue, but my doctors told me.
Was the cause of death no more blood?
They didn't actually say in the stories I read why he died.
Why don't you give blood?
He had given. Can you hang on a minute?
I just had a simple question.
He gave blood 1,173 times, a pint each time.
Incredible.
And 2.4 million babies have gotten the antibody. That's 10% of the population of Australia right now. And there's 600,000 doses in reserve. And you know what? On average, he gave blood more than once a month. In the U.S., you're only allowed to give blood every 56 days. I do give blood. To be honest, I don't mind at all. You have to have somebody good putting the needle in. Apparently, James Harrison was needle averse, but he did it anyway. Here's perhaps the most amazing thing in all the amazing things. Guinness recognized him as the person who had donated the most blood in history in 2005, and he gave for 13 more years after that. Anyway, let's
hear that's a happy story. I have one last question.
He was
when you're giving
player.
Blood, do you watch the needle go in?
I don't watch the needle go in, but I watch the blood accumulate.
Sorry. Okay, I just
my dad was a little like James Harrison. He was a doctor. He gave blood every other week as well at the VA hospital, and the reason he did it was because he knew how much blood we needed. Right. So be like James Harrison. Give something of yourself. He was joyful and he was so happy to do it. It's interesting. What a fascinating habit. What a fascinating.
All right, we got tariffs. Trump wasn't messing around. He wasn't just threatening. We meant it. And now Canada, Mexico, China, we are tariffalific here. What's happening?
Well, I'm going to quote Warren Buffett, the great investor and manager of companies. Over the weekend, he said, "We are at war." And that is really what we are. We are now at war with Canada, Mexico, and China. He imposed 25% tariffs. He increased the price of everything that comes into the country from Canada and Mexico as of midnight tonight by 25%. Just to be clear, we pay that. The companies don't pay that. The people importing it pay it. It's going to be crazy. 18% of all beer that we drink in the U.S. is imported, and 80% of it comes from Mexico. So there you go. There's your beer. 88%, think about this, 88% of U.S. pickup trucks are manufactured in Mexico. 25% tariff on those, talking $6,000, $8,000. We get our beer, our bell peppers, cucumbers, avocados from Mexico, car parts, lumber from Canada. Canada has immediately retaliated with tariffs on U.S. exports to Canada. 10% more imposed on China at midnight. So he'd already imposed 10% on China a month ago, now 20% on Chinese goods. So there are two things to observe. First of all, there's no tariffs on South Korea, Japan, Vietnam. We get lots of cars from Korea, Kias, Japan, Toyotas, lots of manufactured goods from Vietnam. The apparel and the small appliances and stuff like that move from China to Vietnam to avoid tariffs. Often Chinese companies opening factories in Vietnam. So why are we punishing our partners? Canada and Mexico are the two largest trading partners. A man named Donald Trump negotiated the U.S.-Canada-Mexico Free Trade Agreement in 2020 to unite these markets. Why is he punishing them?
Well, that is the question. Why is he? It's still this fentanyl and immigration stuff. I gather, by the way, I gather. Hold on. Let me occasionally
insert a sentence. Something. Okay.
I gather that in Mexico, for example, that the amount of immigration from Mexico has really dried up, and now we're handing over Mexican warlords and stuff. So I don't.
No,
I guess
they're handing over.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Yeah. That we're collecting them. I don't really understand then. Like,
when he said the tariffs would go forward, he focused on, we need these factories in America. If they want to avoid the tariffs, they have to build their car factory and plant their avocados in America. Well, that's a bad sign, because that
can't happen anytime soon. That's not going to happen. You're going to pick the factory up and just move it across the border.
It takes 2 years to build a modern car factory, even if you're in a hurry. The avocados are grown, the avocados, the bell peppers, the strawberries, the tomatoes are grown in Mexico because they have a different growing season than we do. I read a wonderful line this morning in the Wall Street Journal that the little plastic box, the clear plastic container that your strawberries or your other produce comes in looks the same year round. But the produce, the strawberries that are in it, comes from different places depending on the season. So He didn't say what Canada and Mexico could do to get the tariffs lifted. So it's not clear what the goal here is. It's just not clear. And so why are we at war?
I gather for, anyway, for I gather for car manufacturers, particularly tricky given
the car manufacturers have begged the White House and the Trump administration to explain what they want them to do, because the way cars are manufactured as a result of the trade agreement negotiated by a guy named Donald Trump in 2020 that he hailed over and over again as literally the best trade agreement ever in history is that car engine parts are made in Pittsburgh and exported to Canada for refining and then shipped to Mexico for installation, and then the cars are sold in Ohio. That's what happens with windshields and grommets and your catalytic converter. Things are made where at the smartest place for them to be made and then incorporated into a whole vehicle. And that's what we wanted. That's what unifying the geography in trade terms meant. It means the Mexicans get jobs, the United States gets jobs, the Canadians get jobs, and we get the cheapest cars and the cheapest blenders and the cheapest bell peppers at that moment. And so he has not said, here's what I'm trying to accomplish beyond moving car factories to America. And even if that's going to happen, it's going to be brutal in the meantime. $6,000 added to the cost of imported cars. Plus, why are we then given a free, go buy yourself a Toyota, go buy yourself a Kia, go buy yourself a Vietnamese blender or a Vietnamese blouse, no tariffs on those. And it's unclear
what's confusing to me, honestly, is that some of this stuff, whatever, a bill on transgender stuff or whatever else, I understand that Republicans would be all for it and Democrats would be against it, and there you go. What's weird is you started with a Warren Buffett quote, but you can find any number of CEOs who are distraught today and any number of, you know, conservative Republican business leaders who are distraught today and think this.
So you wonder what the constituency
for this is a little bit, right?
Right. There's no one except Donald Trump and the small group of people around him, Peter Navarro, who think this is a good idea or can explain what it's going to accomplish. You know, he was holding their feet to the fire on fentanyl. To be honest, the Mexicans have woken up on the drug thing in an incredible way in the last 6 weeks. The New York Times had a remarkable story over the weekend that the leaders of the Sinaloa cartel are frightened at the crackdown on them.
So the threat of tariffs therefore worked. You have to give them credit then. The threat of tariffs worked. You wonder then what the imposition is,
what the point of the imposition is. What are we accomplishing now?
Okay.
Anyway, let's move on to the weather if we can.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the weather.
Last week, Elon Musk and Doge fired 600 meteorologists and staff of the National Weather Service. It's completely unclear what they were trying to accomplish. The National Weather Service maintains dozens of forecast offices around the country, staffed by real people. You know, computers have improved weather forecasts so that our weather forecasts are, people send me a text, they said it was going to snow 8 inches last week and it only snowed 2 inches. The weather forecasts today aren't anything like the weather forecasts of even 15 years ago, let alone the forecasts of 1995. We aren't there yet. Weather forecasting has improved so dramatically because of the use of computers, the density of data. What that means is we take measurements at all levels of the atmosphere now. We take measurements much more often. We use both balloons going up from the surface. We launch 300 balloons a day. We actually launch 300 balloons twice a day. Human beings do that. Satellites looking down give us data. Those offices are not staffed by people sitting around twiddling their thumbs with their feet up, working from home, doing nothing. I don't think there are any federal workers sitting around doing nothing, to be honest. That's not my experience with all the federal workers I know. The entire budget of NOAA, which includes the National Weather Service, is $6.74 billion. $6.74 billion. The budget of the United States is $6.75 trillion. It is as if you had $1,125 and you cut a dollar in spending. The National Weather Service is the best bargain out there. Every dollar we spend saves $7 or $9 or $14 in avoided danger. Walmart, the airlines, ski resorts, everybody in the world relies on the weather. And when you call up your weather app, when you go to AccuWeather, those people aren't predicting the weather. They're telling you what the National Weather Service said. So it's crazy. Overnight, they announced the latest. This is truly a level of unexplainable insanity. Doge published a list of buildings that it wants to cancel leases on. And it's a long spreadsheet. And two of the buildings are the National Weather Service Computation Center in Silver Spring, Maryland, about 6 miles from our house, where all the National Weather Service computers are that gather data and run models and make predictions. They're going to cancel the lease on that building. And the National Weather Service building in Norman, Oklahoma, which is the National Radar Center, which gathers all the NEXRAD radar data and distributes it to the whole nation. If you cancel the leases on those buildings, billions of dollars in equipment will suddenly be carted to the curb, sitting out in the rain on the sidewalk, and you won't have the ability to make any weather predictions. So it's not clear what Doge is thinking, but those are the most short-sighted Doge cuts I have seen, and they make no sense. They're not saving any money. Those people work their butts off all the time. And by the way, they're devoted to our public safety, to our health and wellness.
We got the State of the Union tonight. We also have the news last night that we've paused any aid to Ukraine. We're getting further into politics.
I don't think we can really dig into Ukraine. At least the White House said no more military aid to Ukraine. We are providing half the military aid to Ukraine, with which Ukraine is using to fight off the invasion from Russia. Ukraine sitting there being invaded. The other half comes from Europe. What President Trump said overnight was he wants to see that Volodymyr Zelensky is sincerely interested in peace. And if he demonstrates that he's sincerely interested in peace, the aid will resume. Okay, well, at least unlike the tariffs, at least that's
what it is. There's a benchmark.
Right. Here's the interesting pattern that connects the tariffs and Ukraine. Donald Trump punishes his friends. He doesn't punish his enemies. Why are we putting pressure on the victim of the invasion rather than pressure on Vladimir?
I think you're mistaken who his friends are. He punishes the United States' friends. He doesn't punish his friends.
Why?
Very clearly, have you heard him talk about Putin? He considers Putin to be his friend.
He doesn't consider Justin Trudeau his friend. But we haven't been enemies with Canada since like 1803 or something.
He's not punishing the United. It's not the United States' friends. It's his own personal friends.
It's his own personal friends, and
it's transactional.
It's not called the State of the Union speech in the year of the inauguration, because he gave an inaugural address, but it is the address
to Congress
on the State of the Union. Tonight, there have only been 100 in-person State of the Union speeches, which is interesting. 88 of them since Woodrow Wilson resumed doing it in person in 1913. They used to just send up, a sheaf of papers. Here's what I'm planning to do. 100 in the country's about to be 250. This is expected to be quite the Donald Trump-style rally/carnival. A Republican strategist I listened to said two things. The Democrats should just hold their fire. This is not their show. They'll just look goofy. And he's right. The opposition party is not at the center of the stage. And expect something dramatic, something we aren't expecting. Expect Donald Trump as the TV producer to unleash something dramatic. We'll see. We'll see what comes out of it. I can tell you this. According to him, the State of the Union's never been better.
Have you ever personally... experienced, because you count your money at ATMs and stuff, have you ever experienced a bank making a mistake either for or in a contrary to your benefit?
Three times. Once an ATM in Raleigh, North Carolina, from what was then First Union and is now Wells Fargo, shorted me $100 on a $400 deposit. It took 6 months to get the $100 back, 6 months. And twice in Mexico, ATMs shorted me a couple hundred pesos, which would have been $20 or $40. No trouble getting the money back in Mexico. Here's what happened. I'm worried we're going to run out of time.
Go ahead.
Citibank, which, for the record, is a bank in which we have an account, Citibank put $81 trillion in a customer's account by accident. And it took two people did not notice the error, and a third person found it after 90 minutes. $81 trillion. The entire GDP of the world is $85 trillion. So Citibank put the equivalent of all the activity of the economic activity of the entire world in one person's account. Now, I did the numbers because I wanted to know. Let's just say you're only going to pay 1% interest on the balance in the account. 1% of 81 trillion. 1% of 81 trillion is 810 billion. Divide that by 365 and you get 34 billion a day. Divide that by 24 and you get $1.42 billion an hour. The money was in there for 90 minutes.
Oh, he must be very rich and happy.
Even at 1%, they should have earned $2 billion in interest. Two things. They were supposed to transfer $280, not $81 trillion. And interestingly, somebody was able to track down at the Financial Times, somebody was able to track down, they were typing into a field. We've actually all had this experience that was pre-populated with 15 zeros.
Oh.
And you had to delete the zeros and then type in the amount for some reason. And they didn't delete the zeros. And so the zeros stayed there. Well, what a stupid way to run your bank. Right. Anyway, Citibank had to report this to the Federal Reserve. That's how we know this did happen a little while ago. It happened last April. I would say it argues for checking your bank balance every 30 minutes online.
Just to collect the interest. If in case you move the money fast, right? Exactly.
Truly, and into your savings account quickly.
And you want to celebrate Oreos, which are before, but between now and when we have you back, it'll be Oreo's birthday.
You mock me. You mock me about my devotion, my commitment to cookies, and I'm talking about the real cookies, not the cookies on your computer, which nobody actually understands what they do. But the birthday of the Oreo cookie is March 6th. That's the day after tomorrow.
How old?
March 6th, 1912. So the Oreo cookie will be, it's not really a round number. I just happened to stumble into this data point. I was thrilled. 113 years old on Thursday. You know what's nice about that? You can celebrate really easily by eating an Oreo cookie and savoring the joy.
And you should acknowledge that the Oreo was a ripoff of the Hydrox.
I didn't plunge into that. I know
true.
You think that.
It is true. I just called it up.
My mom used to buy Hydrox, and I couldn't wait for her to start buying Oreo. I want to say, we hope that in a month, you'll be able to have your Oreo cookies with a mug that says, Fish on Friday, on Tuesday.
All right, we got to get out of here. Jeffrey's firing up the music. We got to get out of here. Thanks, Jeff. On Twitter, at C. Fishman. On Twitter or X at C. Fishman. Jeffrey, what is coming up next on 92.9?
Here's what's coming up next.
Jeff, here's what's coming next on Jason and John. Jessica Benson, Jason Fitz will join them today. Tim Murray joins me on Jeffrey Wright and Company. Jeff will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We got to get out of here. Back tomorrow. For now, work is done.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City. Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omacid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.